Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
I think New England certainly is at a position offensively that they have some troubles, and the defense for the Eagles has played much better recently. I think that if they have the ability to throw the ball down the field against the Eagles, they'll have some success.
Can you believe that? You see what he did? It's on. Oh, yeah. He's going down right after we finish playing funnel nuts.
This is clearly the second best team they have faced all year, and one of only three teams they have faced this year that you have any chance of seeing in the postseason.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
It's time to start revving up the conversations about, oh, is this team a fraud? Are they the dynasty over? Brady's done. It's not going to be like it once was.
I'll ask these fellas. Maybe they've seen him. Excuse me. Have you seen? Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a sec. Hey, pal, stop talking while I'm talking. All right? You want a sandwich full of knuckles? Do you?
The worst decision was that deep throw to Sanu off his back foot. Just that prayer.
I'll never understand that.
When Tom does that, I get concerned.
Is he
where his headspace is in that particular game?
I'm the star. Who else is going to do this? Can you do this?
No.
Exactly. That's why you're down here and I'm up there.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend.
A lot to get to today. We're going to talk the Patriots finally getting back on the field this weekend at Philadelphia, 4:25 Sunday kick. Haven't played since the debacle against the Baltimore Ravens two Sunday nights ago. I have an opening take on the Patriots. Do you want to lead off?
I just wanted to lead off real quick and just applaud Christian Fourier for his efforts this week and what he did in raising a lot of money for diabetes research. What he did was incredible. I'm really proud of what he did, proud to be a part of EEI when something like that happens. So I just wanted to say, kudos to Christian. Great job. What he did, put in a ton of effort. And then they landed some killer interviews. So it ended up being great content and on top of, a great moment in time with Christian doing that and then everyone else there supporting him. So that was really cool. That's just all I wanted to open up with.
Unbelievable effort. I cannot imagine the delirium that would settle in within 25 hours straight of being on the radio. I mean, 25 hours.
Yeah.
And he was gunning for 25,000. How much did he get? 100,000?
I believe they hit 100,000, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Some really good interviews if you haven't heard them. Go back and listen to that Ray Allen one if you're a huge Celtics fan. Go listen to that Ray Allen interview. It was very interesting.
One of his finest feats since the Super Bowls with the Patriots. I mean, that was an amazing effort on his part and for a great cause. So I echo your sentiments there. Okay. So the Patriots back in action, as I said. Here's what I'm going to say about the Patriots and their game this weekend and their team moving forward, okay? I am more concerned. Concerned isn't really the word, but what I would be more concerned with is I know the chatter has centered around the offense, and can the offense step up, and can N'Keal Harry offer anything, and can they start looking like the Patriots and Tom Brady-led offense that we know? But I would be more concerned if the defense has another poor performance, has another poor outing, doesn't look like the defense we saw during the first 7 weeks of the season. That's what would make me most concerned, because this team has established an identity, and it is defense. And we know what wins ultimately in the playoffs, not the Patrick Mahomes flash or all this and that from the quarterback. the defense wins. They won it last year with defense. They won this year because of defense. If the defense, once again, is subpar, I would be way more nervous than if Tom Brady has another poor game, if the offense looks clunky, if they can't move the ball consistently. It is all about the defense to me. That is their identity. That is the identity of this team to me. And that's what I think wins when you get down to the most important games. I want the defense to bounce back. I want the defense to look like the defense we've seen. I know the competition's a little better. I still want them to look like a dominant defense. I think they will. But that is more important to me than Tom Brady coming into his own and finding all these weapons and scoring 40. I would be much happier with another more rock fight-ish type game, 17-13, than 38-34. That's what I'm looking for. I want the Patriots defense to reemerge this Sunday.
So you're talking specifically in this game, you want to see the defense reemerge, and I think they can and they should, considering what the Eagles are dealing with. First of all, they don't have a lights-out offense, partly because they've been kind of decimated by injuries all season. When DeSean Jackson goes out, Alshon Jeffery's here for a week, gone for 2 weeks, back for a week, gone for 3 weeks. Yeah, you're dealing with a lot of injuries now. Jordan Howard's injured. Jason Peters, your tackle, is hurt.
Jeffery's not playing this weekend.
He's not playing. Darren Sproles is out for the year.
Yep.
You're dealing with a lot of injuries. So, yes, I do expect the defense to come back in this game and become a and show us what they were at the beginning of the season. Now, granted, this is even with the injuries, the Eagles are still a better team than a lot of the teams they faced early in the season and were able to beat up on and able to put up all, or, you know, limit all those points to put themselves in a position where they have the best defense in the NFL. So this is going to be a tougher game. What did you just say? 17-13?
Yeah.
That's what you want it to be, or that's what you're predicting it to be?
No. I didn't predict that.
Okay.
I just said I'd rather a game where the defense shows out than the defense sucks, but the offense comes to life and it's 38-34.
I'd really like to see the offense actually come to life.
I would too.
I can't sacrifice the defense.
I
understand what you're saying, but with a team that you're going up against that has a lot of injury problems, you know, I expect the defense to be solid. Maybe not magnificent, but I expect them to be solid. I really want to see how this offense steps up, progresses. I want to see if they can get the run game established somewhat so that play action actually means something for them and it allows guys like Edelman a little more space to operate and some of these other wide receivers who aren't necessarily nearly as good some space to operate. I need this offense to take another step because we talked about the defense winning last year in the playoffs. That's the reason they won. Well, the offense was still pretty damn good with the exception of the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
so I mean,
the offense was great, excellent in the Chiefs game. There were some mistakes.
I believe in this defense. I don't believe that they're a otherworldly, you know, all-time legendary defense, but I believe in this defense for this year. So I need to see the offense actually become a slightly more well-rounded offense. You know, you can have success with that short intermediate passing game, which they obviously have for a long time. But you need to be able to throw another wrinkle at opposing defenses, especially better defenses as you get further into this schedule and then move on to the playoffs. So I really want to see the run game established. I would like to see a tight end have some kind of impact on this game. So I'm looking more at the offensive side in this game than I am the defensive side. I understand you're looking more at the defensive side.
I need them to reestablish what they were before the Ravens game.
You only watch the defense, I only watch the offense, and we'll call each other in between.
We'll text. Yeah. Look, if they could win 38-10, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. But I don't know if that's realistic. Here's one thing Philadelphia poses that I think could give the Patriots issues that other teams don't necessarily have. I think they have competent coaching, and I think they have coaching that is not afraid of the Patriots, sort of like what we always see with the Ravens. They might not always win, but you know John Harbaugh. You know they're not afraid. They're not intimidated by the logo or the banners. I think the Eagles are like that. I think Doug Peterson proved that in the Super Bowl. Jim Schwartz proved that in the Super Bowl. They have no reason to be afraid of the logo.
Did Jim Schwartz really prove that in the Super Bowl? The opposing quarterback threw for a billion yards.
That's true.
And they still gave up a ton of points.
So can I just really quick defend myself? Okay?
Yes.
There is a soundbite in the Super Bowl, and I have yet, back when the page, and maybe this, I'm counteracting myself here because, like you said, Brady threw for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. But there was a point in the Super Bowl, a soundbite, and I yelled and screamed for the Patriots to do this in the past when they had the bend but don't break defenses. This is why I have a little bit more respect for Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, than maybe I should. I tweeted this out a long time ago. Soundbite where he talked about right before the final drive for the Patriots, he goes to Doug Peterson, Schwartz does, and he says, I'm going to be aggressive here. This is right before the strip sack.
Yep.
And why I love that for them was because one of two things was going to happen. He says this. He says it in the bite. He says, we're either going to get the ball back and win the game, or we're going to get burned because we were so aggressive, and you're going to get the ball back for Foles. And I loved it. I yelled and screamed for years about doing that in the Giants Super Bowl, the second Giants Super Bowl. I don't know about in the first one because I thought the defense would get the stop there. But in the second one, other playoff games probably, where in regular season games too, where the Patriots had a lead, it was a one-score game, and they go with the bend but don't break, and they bend, they bend, they bend, and if they break, it's over. I love the fact that they knew what they were dealing with that day, and he went for it, and they ended up getting the turnover. They won the game. But if they didn't, the Patriots were going to score. The offense was rolling for Philly, and they were going to get the ball back. I gained some respect for him just because of that. You're right. He's probably not as good as I'm – he's probably not as good as I'm thinking. But that was a very good move, and it won the game for them in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, when I look at it now, they have the 19th-ranked defense. So right. I'm not all that worried about Jim Schwartz. I have some respect for him.
A lot of injuries back there.
Dealing with a lot of injuries this year, and it's – took a credit to them that they're 5-4 and first in the NFC East right now. I think technically first in the NFC East. I think Dallas is also 5-4.
Yeah, but I mean that division.
That division is blech right now. Yeah. But this is also a team that a lot of people predicted to have a very good season and go deep into the playoffs. So I don't think this is going to be quite an easy matchup for them. I think it's going to be somewhat of a challenge, but I do expect them to win this game, and I do not expect quite the issue that they're going to have that they had with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You know, I don't see, even though I think tight end for the Eagles might be, Andrews is really good. Andrews is better than anything the Eagles have. Tight end isn't a is a good position for the Eagles, and if they see that tight end is the way to go to attack the defense, I'm going to be very interested to see how the Patriots adjust to that and take that out, because that was a big reason why they lost that Ravens game. Not just what Lamar Jackson did, but those tight end sets
Mark
and how
Andrews
they could.
Is better than Zach Ertz right now?
Yes. Right now? Yes. Historically, no. Ertz has been really good. But right now, Andrews is very good. Okay. Top five tight end in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. I expect them to, I wouldn't be shocked if they found a way to lose this game because it's a tough spot. The Eagles are good historically off the bye. I know a lot of that was Andy Reid. But I'm not picking against the Patriots. Not after the loss. Not after the bye. I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not either.
And I'll tell you, I said it again last week, but I did not think the reason the Patriots lost the game in Baltimore was because of the offense. I thought the Edelman fumble hurt, but I thought overall the offense moved the ball.
Well, I think the biggest problem was it was bad penalties. That honestly was the biggest problem.
Correct.
In that game was just terrible decision making from the actual players on the field. Just consistently throughout that entire game was the biggest problem for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Belichick gets so damn frustrated.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing if they lose schematically, which they did lose schematically. Don't get it twisted. But they shot themselves in the foot along the way. And that's what Belichick gets more pissed off about than anything.
The Eagles and Patriots are both 14-4 post-bye. This is in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. However, I will point out, the Patriots have not been as good off the bye lately as they were back early on in the decade. They were, at one point, I think, 9-0, 10-0. They've had a few losses. I'll never forget the remember the game in Carolina where Rob Gronk got hugged?
Yeah.
They're hugged by Luke Kuechly. That was off the bye. They lost that game. They've lost a few games off the bye, especially on the road. So they haven't beat the Eagles in a while. They lost to them in the Super Bowl. They lost to them. Remember that game at Gillette Stadium 4 years ago?
Yep.
Crazy game. Pick six. Tom Brady, the kick, the pooch kick, whatever that was. When the Patriots had the lead. So they haven't had the easiest time with the Eagles. But like you said, I'm not a big the arrow is down for me on Carson Wentz, too. He hasn't looked like the MVP. that he looked like before he got hurt, what was that, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So
I wouldn't say the arrow's down. I'd say it's flat right now.
Flat.
Simply because we already talked about it, the injuries he's been dealing with, Jackson being gone on IR, Alshon Jeffrey in and out. You know, I think he's had to deal with a lot. I don't. He's certainly not improving. You can't say that. You can't say the arrow's going up for him. But when you look at the circumstances surrounding his play this year, you know, I can't overly blame him, and I can't say he's getting worse.
Okay. Real quick, we got to. I know everybody's talked about it. I want to know what you think of the Myles Garrett situation from Thursday night. If you didn't see it, I don't know how you didn't see it.
Do you really think I didn't see it? You know, I watched it like 50 times.
Sure. Of course. You love fighting.
I do.
So there was Myles Garrett, defensive end for the Cleveland Browns. It was the very end of the game against the Steelers. He sort of takes Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph down late. There's a little skirmish on the field there between Rudolph and Garrett as Garrett was basically lying on Rudolph. Rudolph sort of grabbed at his helmet, couldn't get it off. Garrett did rip Rudolph's helmet off and then clocked him over the head with his own helmet. Your thoughts?
Listen, I loved watching it.
Of course, I did too.
I loved watching it. But you just can't do it. So I thought it was ridiculous him pulling back, windmill hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with the helmet. That was just insane. You cannot do that. I have no problem with the league suspending him for the rest of the season and potentially through the playoffs. I have no problem with that, but it shouldn't go any further than that. Mason Rudolph shares a little bit of culpability in the situation when I get it. You're frustrated. You got taken down late and you got laid on, which to me is the most frustrating part about the whole thing because you can't move. You got this big 300 plus guy on you that won't get off of you and is just kind of laying there. And that's really frustrating, but he shouldn't have reacted the way he reacted. That's not to say that what Myles Garrett did is washed away in any shape or form. And I'm not saying that Mason Rudolph is really to blame for the whole situation because it really started with Garrett taking him down and then laying on top of him. But you know, Rudolph isn't blameless in this whole situation. And if anything, you know, when I look at what the NFL handed down for punishment, I have no problem what they handed down for Garrett. I don't know if I would have given 3 games to Pouncey for what he did in that situation.
Definitely not. That was too many.
I probably would have gone 1, maybe 2.
Definitely not 3. Too many for Pouncey.
Got to protect your guy. I mean, you have to.
And he didn't even do anything.
It's the kick. It's the kick to the head.
But he didn't land the kick, though. The kick hit the leg of the defensive end.
That's a good point, because I think intent obviously matters.
Yeah.
And outcome matters.
Yes.
It absolutely matters. I mean, it matters in our legal system. It should matter in this, because all context should be brought into play here. If Myles Garrett had really clubbed Rudolph and hit him with the crown of the helmet as opposed to the bottom extra layer of that softer plastic, which he really did, it could have been much, much worse.
Yep.
I'm not going to be one of those people like, he could have killed him. No, he wouldn't have killed him. Just the way the situation was. But, you know, I have no problem with Garrett's suspension. I would have maybe gone a little bit less on Pouncey, and I probably would have given Rudolph a game. I probably would have given him 1 game.
Sure. That would have been fine with me.
Yeah.
One of the big things, and again, this has been talked about ad nauseum, one of the things that I was stunned by, I just thought it was a stunning loss of emotion.
It was really stupid.
You won the game. The game's over right there. That was the last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You won. Why are you so upset? It's inexcusable either way, but had he lost the game and there was all this pent-up frustration and the quarterback had torched them all night and then you do that, obviously still inexcusable. But then it's like, oh, you're probably pissed. You won the game. It's over. Good win. I would have been laughing at the quarterback at that point. We had beat you up all night. I laid down on you after taking you down. All right, that was sort of a cheap shot, whatever. But now you're all upset and you're coming at me and you're all frantic. Ha ha ha, you little boy, get away from me.
Yeah,
I mean, why were you so upset and pissed? And I don't care what Rudolph might have said to him. I don't think he said anything. I don't care what he might have said. So he tried to take his helmet off?
Yeah.
He didn't get it off. I mean, all he was doing, why were you so angry?
Yeah.
So angry in that moment as you're about to win the game, your second straight win. Unbelievable, the Browns. No, I guess it isn't.
No, it's not unbelievable, the Browns. They're a dumpster fire of a team. They have all this talent, but they are dumb. They're just dumb.
Yeah.
From Every element of that organization is stupid.
Can we just...
From the very top with Haslam all the way down. It's just a stupid organization.
This is a great opportunity. And I know we've talked about this on the show because we value this. It's a great opportunity to remind people about where talent, what talent means in the NFL, because people put the Browns in the playoffs the second they got Odell Beckham.
Yep.
You have to establish a culture. Talent is great. You need talent. But you have to establish a culture before you can do anything. And the Browns, Freddie Kitchen, your cousin, he did nothing. He has done nothing. He's done nothing. He did nothing. There was no culture there. And that takes time. And the culture there, as of now, looks subpar, to say the least. Undisciplined. They lead the league in penalties. I mean, this is a poor culture that still, just because you got a couple good players, doesn't change overnight. Especially when the good players you just acquired aren't the quarterback. So, because that's the most important position.
And when the quarterback has an attitude problem himself.
Correct.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? First of all, I think Freddie Kitchen should be fired because I'm tired of hearing a bastardized version of my name being, dragged through the mud out there.
Correct.
Just tired of it, Freddie. Just go away, please. What it reminds me of is, to a bigger degree, last year's Celtics team. In terms of what you brought up, culture. You can have the talent. They certainly had the talent. The culture wasn't right. And you didn't get the results simply because of the culture. Not because of the talent, but because of the culture that was created in that clubhouse.
And you know what else about that, just on that point? I think in basketball, that's an even worse situation because...
Well, it's more important in basketball.
Well, here's what I think. See, I don't know if I agree with you. Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'll disagree.
Here's what I think. In basketball, I think talent is the most important thing. Not necessarily the culture. The culture's right there. But if you don't have the talent in basketball, I don't think you have a chance. I think in football, if you don't have the talent, you have a chance. So the fact that the Celtics, with all that talent, couldn't get... I mean, they didn't even get close to any of the expectations that we had put on them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they couldn't get close was an even bigger indictment on the lack of productivity that the culture created than anything else, because you had all that talent. And in basketball, talent wins. That it's a talent league.
I can point to a couple of chips where culture overruled talent.
Where?
2004. Detroit Pistons. Sure. Over the Lakers. Lakers had all the talent in the world.
And no,
culture
right.
And teamwork smashed them.
You're right.
Absolutely smashed them. Examples of the Mavericks over the Heat. That's another good example. The Spurs over the Heat. Again, both situations, the Heat had more talent, but the better culture and the more well-rounded team ended up winning. It wasn't talent that did it. And the reason I think culture is actually more important in basketball is because you're playing constantly with each other, whereas in football, you have a delineation between responsibilities, whether it's offense or defense. So you have multiple cultures going on in football, whereas basketball, it's just that one, and it's with those core 12 to 15 guys.
All right, here's how I'll frame it. And I guess this goes against your argument that culture is more important in basketball. And when we're talking about winning a championship, it probably is close.
Yeah.
But if you get the basketball equivalent, in football, the Browns can acquire Odell Beckham Jr.
Sure.
And halfway through the season, the next season, still be under 500.
Mm-hmm.
In basketball, if you get Odell Beckham Jr. of the NBA,
yeah,
the next season... you're not going to be under 500.
Now, your win total does go way up, and that's a good point.
You might not win the championship,
sure,
because the culture could derail you and this and that. But when you get that ultra talent in basketball, the whole dynamic of the team changes. Again, mm-hmm, winning a championship is different. But as far as just getting to the playoffs, winning the games, a record north of 500, you get the talent, you're going to get there.
That's fair. Now, that's a good point. It's a good point. All right, I can't argue with that.
401-737-1287. When we get back, we'll talk more about the Patriots. We'll talk more about N'Keal Harry. He's supposedly... do we know if he's going to make his debut? We don't know. Devin doesn't. I expected Devin to know. He doesn't know. We're going to figure out...
here he is.
Okay. So we're... and we... I also want to talk the Celtics. They had a big win last night in Golden State. 10 in a row for the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Okay, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. I want to give our producer, Devin, some credit.
No, he gets no credit.
No, I'm going to give him a little credit.
As our lead-in
music. No, that's ridiculous. But he did put forth, he made some content, posted some content on Twitter of him. Now, I will point out, I think he was wearing that same shirt.
Probably.
So he probably has two shirts.
His stupid Orioles Nelson Cruz shirt.
Hey, got to respect Cruz, man.
No, you don't.
But he put something together where he had a Taylor Swift song kind of outline. It was going over.
It was Pink.
It was Pink? What was Pink?
The song.
Oh, yeah. It was
I
Pink.
Want to start
it was
a fight.
Pink. It was Pink. So he's in a Pink mode right now.
Ugh.
It was Pink. I want to start a fight. And he was breaking down the Myles Garrett incident via a Pink song. And he had a little dance. He was you know, jiggling his man boobs and stuff like that. So it was good.
We should get him a bro. Or man's ear. He just bounces
I'm down.
Back there.
I'm size 34.
Are you as much a fool as I am, Mark?
Yes.
Did you watch that main Red Claws game last night?
I did.
I did too. What's wrong with us?
We're going to talk about that.
What's wrong with us?
Let's take Dan and Cranston's call. I did watch that game.
Oh,
I thought their center court logo was pretty creative. Sort of a small, I mean, the gym was small. It's like a high school gym, isn't it?
Oh, it's like the Portland Civic Center. It's tiny.
After one of the baskets that one of the guys for the Red Claws made, he clapped, and you could hear the echo of the clap throughout the arena. All right, let's talk to Dan and Cranston. Dan, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, all you need to know about the Browns is, did you see what Freddie was wearing for a sweatshirt on Thursday night?
Didn't catch it. What was it?
It was the dog pound.
The dog.
Seriously. Could you picture Bill Belichick wearing a sweatshirt that said, Fear the Boogeymen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, he looks like he should have been. They had a shot of him and Tomlin when all this stuff broke out. And it just, he looks like a guy that jumped the barrier and ran onto the field. Seriously, like a drunk. I mean, how this guy is a head coach is beyond
belief.
He coaches
like a drunk, too.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Who do you have in that fight if the head coaches get into it? Tomlin? Kitchens?
I'm not ever siding with Freddie Kitchens on anything.
Okay, fair enough.
Tomlin would roll him, I'm sure. As far as the Browns, you know, one can make an argument. As far as talent-wise, you're talking about teams that beat better, a team-oriented or culture beat like a team with much more talent. The Patriots for a Super Bowl is the best example of it.
The greatest
show on turf was by far a more talented team. Tom Brady back in those days was definitely a game manager. And you could even argue now that this Browns team might be a more talented team than that Patriots team was all around.
Maybe.
You know?
But don't forget how good that Patriots defense was. Offensively, the Rams undoubtedly had way more talent. It wasn't even close. Defensively?
Correct.
I would say the Patriots had more talent.
They're going to have two Hall of Famers on that defense,
but at least. I like your point, Dan. Overall, yeah, I would say the Rams certainly had more talent overall, but don't forget that Patriots defense was actually kind of loaded.
You know, thinking about that game, that was back in the days where you could mug a guy at the line still, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And never get off the point of attack.
Well, that's partly why Ty Law was so damn good, and that's why, you know, I will never be a fan of Napoleon or the Colts is because they whine like little bitches until that got changed.
Yeah. I just, Cleveland is a head coach away. If someone figures out they bring in the right guy, I'm pretty sure that team is probably a playoff team, irregardless. I mean, Baker Mayfield is going to be a decent quarterback, and they got talent. It just needs to be, you know, every NFL team's got talent. It's just the coaching. More than any other sport, coaching is everything. And, you know, why they hired that moron is beyond me, but no story for another day. I got to go, guys.
All right, thanks, Dan. I think why they hired him, honestly, is because of his relationship with
Baker.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem and the reservation I would have with the Browns. Not we're going to talk about the Browns.
Which is also why the Jets aren't going to fire Adam Gase anytime soon.
Okay. I don't know how much I buy into the culture created by Baker Mayfield himself. He did handle the game, the post-game Thursday night well. But he sort of talks too much, and he, you know, He doesn't really do much to back up the talking that he does, and I don't really love all of that, you know? He's not very much like Tom Brady, and I don't really like that. You know who's more like Tom Brady?
Russell Wilson.
Okay. Those guys are more like Tom Brady. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I now. Do I think Lamar Jackson has limitations and this and that? Yes. Russell Wilson. That game on Monday night was excellent.
Yes.
And I love, you know, I love I used to love the Seahawks 49ers rivalry that used to be.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite. I tweeted earlier in the week, if they came out with a DVD about, you know, those games between 2011 and 2013, I would buy it. I mean, those games were awesome. I loved those games between those two teams when it was the Legion of Boom and Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and Jim Harbaugh and Kaepernick and Smith.
Well, because it was kind of an extension of the old, like, Harbaugh versus Carroll, Stanford, USC.
Right,
like, there was a lot going on in there. And, you know, Harbaugh was Sherman's coach in college, and now all of a sudden he's lining up across from him on the other side. So, yeah, that was a very good rivalry. Have two very good teams battling it out. I'm just glad it was the Seahawks that were the ones that won the Super Bowl and not the Niners.
See, I like the Niners better. I was a fan of those Niners teams.
Speaking of the 49ers.
You want to talk about how Pete Carroll's daughter used to bully me in middle school?
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I told you that story, didn't I?
No, you did not ever tell me this story.
I never told you that story off
the air. No.
So Pete Carroll lived in my town when he coached the Patriots.
Yes.
His daughter was on my bus.
Same age or older?
No. She was much older.
Oh.
She was 4 years older, but she was probably a 10th grader and I was a 6th grader at the time. So we were on the same bus. So what happened was...
Middle school and high school were in the same place?
Yeah, in that town they were. So I was on the bus with a lot of the older kids in 6th grade. So it was her and her friend. They used to sit together a lot. I think her name was Jamie, the Pete Carroll's daughter.
Okay.
She ended up playing, she's a good volleyball player. Anyway, so I'm in 6th grade and they used to sit together on the bus and they would, you know, ham it up and whatever girls at that age do on the bus. So one day, I was sitting by myself. Jamie's her name. And one of the girls decided to come, and it was Jamie. She decided to sit on my lap.
Hmm?
So she came, sat with me, sat on my lap, and I'm in 6th grade. So I'm like just, you know, getting into girls, I guess. She sits on my lap, and then they start asking out loud if either of them feel something poking through.
Oh, that old game.
So I'm embarrassed. I got this girl sitting on my lap. I don't know what to do. She's way older than me. I'm in 6th grade, and everybody was laughing. That's the story. I mean, I wasn't scarred by it. It's just
clearly because you're, you know, you haven't forgot about it for the last 20 years.
It was just something that happened. Pete Carroll's daughter.
Did something actually happen?
Probably.
Probably.
There was probably some physiological reaction.
I would assume so, especially for a 6th grader, yeah. an attractive older girl.
Attractive older girl.
Sitting on your lap.
Yeah.
If it didn't, I would have said, "What's up, man? You all right?"
And as a matter of fact, on that bus that day, not helping me out at all, was one of the now higher-ups at this company.
Oh, son of a gun.
Entercom. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Jeez, Jim.
So,
man up. Guy's getting bullied over here.
That's right.
You're just for a passenger.
That's all right.
You're like Al Horford, just a passenger.
So anyway, that all happened. Okay.
Forget what I was going to say before
where are we
that
because
that
where
was
are we going?
Fantastic. We were talking about the 49ers, and I was going to transition over to the Colin Kaepernick workout situation going on.
Is that happening today?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are your thoughts? What are your feelings about this situation, the NFL setting up an individual workout for him when they run workouts all year for veterans and guys that just didn't get drafted by the league, so he could have potentially fit into any one of those.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I just think it's as simple as this in terms of his availability and the prospect of him landing with a team. I just think at this juncture, it's not worth the headache based on what he could bring you on the field. I mean, at this point, best case scenario, what is he? Robert Griffin III? You know, where
a backup?
It's a former starter, competent quarterback, turn backup, and hey, good for you, you're able to stay in the league. That's the best case scenario. And whether or not he's a backup, he's still going to generate a million media members coming from all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth the headache or the buzz that it would create. It's just not worth it based on what he'll give you on the field.
You don't think anyone signs him out of this?
No.
I don't either. I don't think anyone signs him out of this.
Yeah.
Because I think for exactly what you're talking about, they're going to look at him and be like, he's nothing more than a backup at this point. Why are we going to take that on? There's a bunch of guys that are serviceable backups in this league that if we need to break glass in case of emergency can win us a game or two. Why do we need to take on an extra layer of headache and scrutiny for a backup quarterback? Now, if there's a team out there that thinks he could viably start for them, maybe. Maybe they would take a chance. But I don't think any team is going to take a chance and just sign him just to be a backup and take all that, you know, national heat or even the praise. I don't think anybody wants just that attention on their organization right now unless they truly think this guy can start and win them games. And there's bad teams out there why would they? Why would the Dolphins do it? You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think he gets a job out of this.
No. Look, Ben Volen, I think it was, made the point that, hey, you know, I hate to say it, but
I saw that.
He could be useful to the Patriots in preparation for some of the opponents that they'll face, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. But here's the thing. You could get somebody else to do that. I mean, you could get somebody else to do that. And I don't think what Kaepernick would bring you would be worth all the media attention. Now, the one thing I will say is that I don't think Bill Belichick would be afraid of the media attention that it would bring.
Nope.
Or unequipped to handle it.
No.
But I just don't think they're going to look at him and be like, yeah, we really could use him. Nothing would surprise me with Bill.
Well, here's the other
Nothing would surprise me with Bill.
Here's going to be the other thing. How much money is he going to be asking for? Right?
Yeah.
Turn down an opportunity to play in the All-American Football League.
Yeah.
Which was actually a smart decision because you just would have looked like a fool and they would have canceled the league on you. I don't know if he even really wants it. Maybe he has turned around and finally he's like, damn, I really miss this and I really want to be an NFL quarterback first and foremost again and not this advocate that I have been for the last couple of years. I really want this. And I think a lot of teams are going to look at him and be like, I don't know if he really wants this. Is this another PR stunt for him to get his name back out there when it had kind of gone away because the NFL season was in full swing and no one's really talking about him? That would be my worry as an organization. And as far as the Patriots, you're right. You can find a million people. Is he going to take money to be a backup quarterback to only line up and practice in the off chance that you play Lamar Jackson again? Or to, you know, be a practice version of Josh Allen when you play them again? Like, really?
Here's the thing about the if you see the Ravens again, Bill Belichick will know exactly what they are going to try to do the next time you play them. The biggest strength of the Patriots defense, they don't let you throw the ball down the field. Between all the continuity they have back there and the guys they have with Gilmore and McCourty, you can't throw it deep on them. The Ravens will try to do exactly what they did the first time. They had success. They're going to do it again. You will know exactly what they're going to do on you. And I don't think Lamar Jackson is not the passer that Patrick Mahomes is. So
no, but he's not bad either. And a lot of people are like, no, he can't throw. He can't throw. No, he's pretty accurate. He actually can throw.
Sure, he can.
But you're right. He's not Mahomes.
Mahomes, though, here's the difference. If Mahomes has to throw and you know Mahomes is going to throw, I'm still not sure it's easy. It's not easy to stop him, even when you know he's going to throw.
Agreed.
And that's, you know, part of that's the weapons he has and Andy Reid. I get that. If Jackson is in a position where he's down 10 with 4.5 to go and you know they have to throw, I'm not sure I'm as nervous with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens as I would be with Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Completely agreed.
So that's
Can't argue that.
So that's the difference. But let's go to break. There's a few more things I want to get to, obviously. I want to talk more about the Patriots-Eagles. We're going to get to the Celtics. Carmelo Anthony has a new home. And the NFL, they're ranking the best teams ever.
Yes, all over.
Very interesting. Very interesting development on that list that I want to get. We love lists that I want to get your opinion on. We're going to do that as well. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Kitch, there's a list I want to get your opinion on. I know you and I both appreciate lists. We love lists.
Love a good list.
So the NFL Network is, you know, they're doing that NFL 100 thing, and they're
yeah.
ranking the top, I don't, is it 100 teams, 50, 100 best teams of all time? And the big takeaway for that from that list for me was they had the best Patriots team they have on that list, the highest ranked team.
First of all, what were they ranked? Before you tell us what the team was.
They were ranked seventh.
Seventh, okay.
Seventh on the list.
All right.
Seventh best team in the history of the National Football League.
Got it.
They have ranked the 2007 New England Patriots.
What?
I was so stunned by that. The next highest ranked Patriots team was 2004. They were ranked 16th. I thought that was too low. That team has to be a top 10 team. Has to be.
You switch those two, I'm cool. Yeah. I don't have much of a problem with
that.
Sure. But the 04 team was better than the 07 team. Results at the end of the year matter. Winning the Super Bowl, winning the biggest game of the year matters, and it should matter.
Yeah.
And it's very important because it's not – when you look at the Super Bowl the 07 team lost, 17-14 to the Giants, when you look at that game, it was a bad game for the Patriots. They looked bad almost all around with the exception of a few moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't block an older – not a great defensive line. They played really well, it's not like that defensive line was,
you know that's
an all-time defensive line. It wasn't like it was the 1990 Eagles defensive line with Brown and White.
Sure, that's a great point. I don't think maybe at that moment we knew I don't know if we knew right then and there that Justin Tuck was as good or was going to be as good as he ended up being for that team.
He got better.
Strahan was old. He wasn't even an older guy. His last year.
And he hadn't been really the old Strahan for about two seasons before that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'd have to look that up and double check.
And the other thing is, I know they only gave up, 14 points to the Giants that day? Was it 14 points?
17.
17 points. But that doesn't really mean much to me because the Patriots played the Giants game that day. And the Giants weren't going to score. I feel like no matter who was on the field that day, the Giants weren't going to score that many points.
I can't have a top 10 team that got outcoached in the biggest game of the year. I just can't have you in the top 10. I don't care how good you were. You didn't win the Super Bowl. You can't be a top 10 all-time team if you do not win the Super Bowl or win the championship that year. Can't do it. Sorry. And I think the 04 team was a better team. The defense on the 04 team, significantly better than the 07 defense.
Yes,
the offense
no question.
Wasn't that much worse than the offense in 2007. Yes, you had Welker catching everything and you had Moss on top. But you had Lawrence Maroney versus Corey Dillon, ripping off 1,600 yards, an unstoppable presence with the ball in his hands. I don't get it. I don't get how the 07 team was better than the 04 team.
No.
Because they went through the season undefeated. Well, they didn't win the biggest game of the year. And they lost to a vastly inferior team.
You could make the argument, too.
They didn't go up against a wagon and lose.
I think I would make the argument that all in addition to the 04 team.
You lost to Eli friggin' Manning.
Yeah.
That automatically drops you down 10 spots. Sorry, go ahead.
I think I would make the argument that I would also put the 03 team ahead of the 07 team. That team was good, too.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously the defense was outstanding.
Here's the big disappointing thing about the 04 team was what did you get out of Ty Law down the street? I mean, he got hurt that year.
Yeah.
So he did not have the year like he had in 03. The 03 defense was as complete as you will see. The only difference is they didn't have Vince Wilfork in that year. They had Ted Washington.
So it's almost a fair trade out. Almost.
Yeah.
But no.
Law still played that season.
I'll take 04 over 07 any day of the week. Day of the week.
And you had Deion Branch, who was a damn good receiver for the Patriots.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was awesome.
Absolutely. 07 should not be that fondly remembered.
No, listen. I don't want to. That was still a team that went undefeated in the regular season, and I know they stand alone.
Don't get me wrong. They were good. But you lose a lot of points for me if you lose in the biggest game of the year
yes.
to a team you really should have beaten.
401-737-1287. I think that
they didn't go up against the 15-1 Packers team with Aaron Rodgers out there and you know, Clay Matthews on the other side of the ball and Charles Woods. They didn't go up against another team that was really great that year. They went up against a team that outpunched its weight class and did a good job doing that and smacked the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots, in the mouth in the Super Bowl. They did to them what the 0-1 Patriots essentially did to the Rams. It was almost the same thing. So they don't get a tremendous amount of credit from me.
Yeah.
So if 0-4, and I'm cool with you even saying 0-3. I would always go to 0-4 because of Corey Dillon.
I think 0-4 was better than 0-3. Because you I know you didn't have Law down the stretch, but who else stepped up there? Did you have Asante Samuel on that team? Was he there at that point in 04? I mean, who did you have playing cornerback in the Super Bowl? You had to have somebody good.
You had Asante. He was
he was there.
Really
young.
It's the second year, I think. I think he came in 03. Asante Samuel, you know, you had guys like Eugene Wilson playing everywhere back there, necessary. Randall Gay playing anywhere necessary. So you had guys that would play for you that weren't that good and that overperformed their ability. I mean, that was a Ty Poole, Earthwind Moreland year, too.
Yeah. No, Ty Poole was 03.
Poole was on this team, too. I don't think he played. I don't even think he played half a season.
Yeah.
He might have only played like 5 or 6 games. But 04 was definitely a better team. It was a better football team than 2007. The 2007 defense wasn't great. Your four linebackers are all 30 years and older. You had one good, really good defensive back at that point. Asante Samuel was really good. And that was it.
If there was one team...
Will Ferk was really good.
If there was an all-time tournament of NFL teams, and you took the best team from each organization, I would always take that 0-4 team to play in that tournament. If they were going up against the 92 Cowboys and the 72 Dolphins, that's the team I would take.
Yeah, 72 Dolphins wouldn't even be on my list.
Well, they were number one on this list.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's dumb. They should not be the number one team. They had a good year that year. And what makes it more special, I think, and makes it more interesting is that they did a lot of it with an old backup. A 39-year-old Earl Morrill actually won a lot of those games for them.
Well, how about this?
But no.
The Patriots were as dominant as they were in 04 without Ty Law in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine they had him. And they still had a good defensive backfield. Randall Gay wasn't some scrub. He made some plays for that team, for those teams back then. They still had Tyrone Poole. They had Asante Samuel. And then you had Wilson and Harrison.
And still a really good Harrison, too.
Yeah.
Still a really good Harrison. But I just don't understand. You go perfect in a down year for the league. You know, it's not great. I mean, that's cool that you didn't lose a single game that year, but it doesn't mean you're the best team, because if you went head-to-head, if that team went head-to-head with a bunch of other teams, they would have gotten their asses kicked. Some of those Steelers teams from later in the 70s, 75, 76, 78, 79, would have smoked that team. Some of those 49ers teams of the 80s would have destroyed that team.
I also think that they got a break in 07 when in the divisional round, I believe, the Chargers knocked off the Colts. Because remember, the Colts in 07 were 9-0 or whatever they were when they faced the Patriots. Now, I get it. The Patriots won in Indy. They won that game. But the defense, I thought, in 07 tailed off as the year went on. They were not quite as good via the eye test. And if they had faced the Colts again, it would have been a tough team to beat twice, I think, that year.
Well, yeah, they did. They did start to tail off a little bit towards the end of the year, and you just look at the points they were giving up at the end of the year versus what they were giving up at the beginning of the year. You know, you had 28, 24.
I'll never forget
13, 10, 7.
The
great,
Eagles
but 35.
Who was
the
quarterback in the Eagles game that year? Was it Ty Detmer or somebody? They almost beat the Patriots at Gillette Stadium that year. That game rattled me.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Remember who the quarterback was.
It was some backup. It wasn't Donovan McNabb.
It was A.J. Feely.
Oh, A.J. Feely. That's
it was A.J. Feely. And A.J. Feely threw for 345 yards against you.
Yeah.
You picked him off three times, but he also threw three scores in that game.
That game rattled me.
Fair enough. I mean, when you look at that game, they had just come off of a Bills game where they put up 56 and then come back and only win by three against an Eagles team with A.J. Feely as your starting quarterback. Yeah. The defense wasn't that great in 07. Just wasn't. The offense was unbelievable, even if it was slightly, you know, I don't want to say one-dimensional because you couldn't run that well.
Yeah.
Lawrence Maroney was not a very good running back. I think he put up about 800 yards that year, which is decent, but
considering how much you threw it, you thought he would get some opportunities to run the ball.
And considering you had the biggest game-changing wide receiver of all time.
Yeah.
In Randy Moss.
People weren't game planning for Lawrence Maroney. So, and you were winning almost every game. So you'd think you'd be able to put up some garbage time yards and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would not rank the 2007 Patriots above 04, maybe even above 03, and maybe even above 14. I don't even know if I'd put them above 14.
They were only 12-4, but the roster was awesome.
But you beat a great team in
the
Super Bowl.
You did.
That matters. That matters a lot to me.
You did.
The final year, all the pressure is actually on. You don't have a ton of pressure on a late September game, a late October game, but all the pressure's on, all the spotlight is on you, and you're going up against a great team and you beat them. That means a lot more to me than what you finish the regular season record as. Because again, 17-0, or 16-0, doesn't mean anything, as we know, unless you win the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean anything. You have to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a team that has consistently won Super Bowls over the previous, and so you already have that pedigree and you know it's not like a team that's on the come up that just hasn't learned how to do it yet. You had the guys that knew how to do it. And you lost in the biggest game of the year. You're not the seventh greatest team of all time if you can't win the championship.
Agreed. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Celtics. We'll get back to the Patriots and the Eagles and what to expect out of that game this Sunday at 4:25. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.